Hey, this is Father Boskin, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast about life and love, about spirituality, in fact, even about Vartanants. Today is the Vartanants edition of The Next Step. It's being brought to you by the good folks at Apostle.net and is part of the expanding vision of the Inishu's mission. Today, we're going to be looking at all kinds of stuff, viewing life, the very fabric of our being through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy, polished up for today. We call that Armodoxy. So kick back right now and enjoy the next few minutes we're together with The Next Step. That was a variety, huh? A variety of ways. Yes, today is Vartanants. We want to celebrate. We want to congratulate anybody who happens to have a name Vartan. It's kind of a cool name, isn't it? It's the warrior name. Today, this Thursday before the Holy Lenten season, happens to be dedicated to the warrior Vartan. We're going to see that that warrior is a different kind of one in a few minutes. It's kind of an unusual. It's an unusual battle that we commemorate. Incredible, in fact. Incredible in the sense, well, you're going to find out. Just a few minutes, that's coming up. I hope you guys are doing well. I hope everyone's all right. I know it's been kind of a turmoil in the news. You've been hearing so many things. But, of course, everything took a stop last Sunday. Of course, not for Divine Liturgy, not for the presence of Christ, but for the Oscars. Wasn't that wild last Sunday? I mean, I could not find any news about what's going on. It's almost like everything was just forbidden to know about. What's going on in the Middle East, in Tripoli, in Libya, Gaddafi, what's he up to? I mean, it was really wild. I mean, like, this week has been like almost like the last few weeks didn't exist. Remember Egypt? Remember Mubarak? Remember what happened in the Middle East after that? And well, you know it every time you go and fill up your gas. Today I filled up. I tried to fill up. I tried $50. It did not even fill up my tank. And I'm going like, okay, we're going to start feeling it. And maybe that's what'll get people to start waking up. It was incredible because Sunday, because of these Oscars, everybody was tuned in to what so-and-so is wearing, what this actor is talking about. And then on top of it, the Charlie Sheen stuff. Did you hear all that stuff? What a rhetorical question that is. Of course you heard it. It's the only thing anybody's talking about. I mean, does anybody figure that there's two kids over there that are getting messed up by all of this stupidity that's going on? I mean, we're making celebrities out of people that, I mean, obviously have some problems. I'm not saying, like, throw them away and lock them away and throw away the key. I'm not saying kill them or anything. But, I mean, isn't there something more in life? I guess there isn't. I mean, people are just so obsessed with this news, and it's getting really sickening. Because you watch this guy, Charlie Sheen, on TV, you see his interviews, you see what's going on with his life, and you realize that, okay, there's something wrong with this guy. You know, there's all kinds of things. There's some things that are wrong with all of us, right? But then they show you the two kids. Nobody seems to care about them. This was like a couple months ago, we were talking about this reality TV show about 16 and pregnant and how young teenagers are becoming pregnant, sort of like emulating what's going on, a show that MTV was supposed to start off as a lesson in morality. Hey folks, get with the program. MTV is not there to teach morality. They are there to make money. That's why Channel 7, Channel 2, the big networks, CBS, NBC, ABC, Fox, there's no other reason for them to be around except to make money. I mean, think about Fox. For all of the conservative commentary, have you watched an episode of Family Guy? Have you seen how raunchy the programming is? I mean, okay, talk about hypocrisy. There you're going to talk about family values on your conservative talk shows, on your conservative news broadcasts. You're going to give it that family twist, and then you're going to talk about, about bestiality and just making that a form of life. I mean, what are you talking about? Where are the connections? How do you draw the lines? You don't. The only common denominator in all of this is the ability to make money. And because of money, because of the need to make money, and the ability to make money off of these kind of programmings and topics, people are forgetting the big issues. Namely, that there's children involved. Namely, that there are babies being born. And nobody seems to care about them. Nobody does the follow-up study. What happens to these babies later on down the line? Last week, we saw the children of Michael Jackson and his mother, the children's grandmother, was raising them. And it seemed she was really giving a lot of thought and emphasis to raising them up, despite all the pressures of being in the celebrity highlights. Well, that's commendable. But you know what? Every one of these kids, every one of these babies that we talk about, when we watch shows, when we watch interviews of these celebrities, every one of them that has babies, these kids have to live in a real world. In a real world that is not going to be very tolerant of them because they are cute. In fact, in a world that is already resigned to the fact that they are throwaway babies. And this should concern each and every one of us, because we have no problem looking over at Africa and looking at third world countries and caring about these poor children over there. We've got children right in our midst that are basically throwaway commodities. They are there to sell the story. Charlie Sheen has two babies, and oh, look at those babies, and they fit right into the model of selling that story. Don't think for a moment anybody cares about anything more than making a few bucks off of these people. And as soon as they finished their life expectancy of making those bucks, they are thrown out. And we're going to talk about this because we're looking at the Lenten season, and that's coming up. And you want to talk about what's important in life, how to bring life down to the bare essentials. We're going to be talking about that. We're going to be discussing that. I hope you're with me. I'm not on a rant over here talking about like how awful these people are. You know, to each his own. Everybody's got to deal with their own selves. Everybody's got to put their head on the pillow, right, at night, and feel comfortable with who they are. They have to make amends with their God, with themselves. I'm not being critical of their lives. What I'm being critical is how we're getting sucked up into it. How this has become the theme and the storylines that are all around us. And meanwhile, what's happening down the road, right now in Darfur, genocide is going on. In fact, the violence is escalating, and people are not looking, they're not paying attention to that. Meanwhile, what's going on throughout the Middle East, the only reason why people are paying attention is because gas prices are going up. Meanwhile, right in our own neighborhoods, we still have issues of violence. We have issues of drug abuse, of the glamorization of drugs and sex, and people are just looking at that and saying, well, that's part of life. And we move on. Is there an answer for that? Does it belong to us to answer? Yes. Well, who else? I mean, isn't that the point of life, that the point of religion is that we have to take responsibility? This week happens to be where we're looking at the beginning of the Lenten season. The first issue that comes up is expulsion. What was the story of expulsion? Not about Adam and Eve. I know people get, I can't take it when they get so into the literal part. You know, God created Adam, and God created Eve, and these are two people. Hello, Mr. Adam. Hello, Mrs. Eve. Now, come on, give it up, folks. These are just stories. These are myths to explain the bigger story of why we're here. The purpose of our lives. And it is a life called to responsibility, to respond to our environment, to respond to, well, to one another. We're going to be talking about all this. We're going to be challenging people. That's coming up today and in the next few podcasts as we're entering into this Lenten season. Today we've got a great show for you. We're going to be talking, of course, at the beginning of Lent. Today happens to be Vartanans, and we're going to talk a little bit about Vartan and Revont, his buddy. I just got back from a retreat. I got to tell you, fantastic. It was a two-day little excursion we took with the clergy. Now, I know. He's saying, is this the same Father Voskin who was talking to us last year? Well, no. Actually, it was really great. It was really, really great. And I'm going to share with you some feelings that I had over at the clergy retreat. That was up in the Sierra Madre foothills. We've got Ani with her bubbles coming up. Just going to be a great show for you. So with that, we kick off every show with a song of the day. How about something to put us in the mood for Vartanants? Okay, tell me the truth. You did not expect that. But what do you expect from someone like me? What, like we're going to play like some kind of Vartanants song? No, not at all. That was Yegeretzin Haigagan. And there's a reason why I selected that. No. Don't get ahead of the game. Just, first of all, let me give you the credits for that. That's from the seminarians over at the Vazgenyan Seminary. That's at Lake Sevan. It's off of their second CD, which is called Ortnia Leastvats. Available wherever good music is sold and distributed. And if they don't have it, then they don't have good music, right? So that was Yegeretzin Haigagan. That is a very famous poem by Vahan Tekeyan. And it says, Yegeretzin Haigagan Znantavair Nehokvuis. And that's where I want to start off today, because when we talk about Vartanants, it's important to understand that it's all in the frame of the church. It's not that there was just this faith existing out there, but the church brings together all of the elements. Yegeretzin Haigagan, when you talk about that, Vahan Tekeyan gives this incredible, incredible poem about saying that the Armenian church, Yegeretzin Haigagan, Zinantavair Nehokvus, it is the birthplace of my soul. Isn't that beautiful? And I love that, because no matter where you go in the world, you walk into an Armenian church, the smell, the sights, the sound, everything around you brings it together, and you realize that it is one place. It is one institution, one continuity all over. But check this out. This is the Father Voskin twist here now, okay? It's almost like Hitchcock, you know? There's got to be a twist to it. It's the birthplace of my soul. Think about that for a moment. the birthplace of my soul. Think about your birthplace. How many years it's been since you've been born? Has it changed? Of course. Last week we were back in the old hood, Hoover and Melrose. A lot of changes. Actually ate at the restaurant over there. It used to be a Hawaiian place. My neighbors would go and eat, I can't tell you what they would eat. But it's changed. Your birthplace doesn't stand still. In your head it could stand still, you'll always remember it, but you go back to your birthplace and it better have changed, otherwise what, you're in the Twilight Zone. Yeah, right? I mean, think about it for a moment, right? If the place doesn't change, you remember that Twilight Zone episode where the guy goes back and he goes back to a place called Willoughby, where nothing has changed, and what did he find out? He found out that he was dead. Well, same thing is with the church. If it's a living church, if it's a living body, you want it to be changing, right? The only things that don't change are dead bodies, corpses. What do? They decompose. Now, if you're a living body, which the church we believe definitely is, you've got to be changing. You've got to be adjusting. You've got to be fitting into your environment. And so this is one of the beauties of the Armenian Church. When you talk about the birthplace of my soul, yeah, let it be the birthplace. But the birthplace is not, well, like they used to say, this is dating me, it's not your father's Oldsmobile. I know, you don't even know what an Oldsmobile is. Have we mixed enough of these metaphors today for you to get the point? The thing is that the Armenian Church is changing. Now, why do I preface the story of St. Vartan's with all of this? Well, let me give it to you the story really quickly, okay? I know many people have heard it. In fact, it's such a popular story, but here it is in a nutshell. Basically, against odds, Vartan wages a war, and the entire Armenian people. It was the Persians who wanted to change the faith of the Armenian people. And so Vartan Mamigonian led into battle the Armenian army, knowing they were going to die. They were outnumbered 3-1. And where the Persians had the military force of that day, interestingly enough, the tanks, so to speak, they had elephants, whereas the Armenians had these camels and these horses. Basically, militarily, they were overpowered by the Persians. So number-wise, strength-wise, equipment-wise, there was no way they were going to win, and Vartan goes into battle, knowing that they were going to lose physically, or they would probably lose, okay? And the whole question is, would the Armenians give up their Christianity? Now, you got to think about this, too. This is 451. This is 150 years only since Christianity was accepted in Armenia. Now, you want to talk about 301, it wasn't like St. Gregory the Illuminator came into Armenia and Armenia became the first Christian nation by the decree of the king. Now, this is not to say that everybody just accepted Christianity. It took a while, right? And so you're just talking a few generations later, Christianity has taken such a hold in the people that they're willing to lay down everything. They're willing to lay down their lives for this faith. And in a letter sent out to the Persians, Vartan and the Armenians get together with another clever individual. I like him because he happens to be a priest, Revont. In English, it's Leon, the priest. Yeretz means priest. Revont Yeretz. Revont Yeretz, along with the Catholicos of the day, the head bishop of the Armenian Church, Hovsep Catholicos. And they get together with the Armenians and they draft a letter and they say, hey, what do you think? That this faith that we have is just a shirt? That we could just pull it off of us and, you know, toss it to one side? No, this is our faith. We accept it. Here in this world, you want to tell us what, we'll respect you as the leadership over here. But don't mess with our faith. And they go to war knowing that they're going to lay down their lives. The sacrifice that they're going to make. Okay? At the end of the war, Vartan dies. And we want to call it the Battle of Avarayr. At the end of this battle at Avarayr, Vartan dies. As do most of the troops. They were outnumbered. They were out militarily. They were out-weaponed by the Persians. It was over. Now, this is the interesting thing. They lost, right? Now, 1,700 years later, Armenian people celebrate Vartanants. Isn't that the wildest thing? Like, have you ever heard of anybody celebrating a defeat? That's pretty wild. I mean, just think of here in America, or think of, about the, what happened in Iraq, okay? Think about any one of the things. Oh, well, think about Vietnam. We lost, right? Imagine celebrating it, celebrating a loss. No, you can't imagine that. But the Armenians, 1,700 years later, celebrated. Why? Well, because we retained our Christianity. So we talk about a moral victory. And I think that this is kind of a cheesy way of getting out of it. Like, we talk about the physical loss, but the moral gain. We remain Christian. And I say cheesy because when you really think about it, we did lose. On all accounts, we lost. But I think here is the power of Vartanants, which nobody else is talking about. That's why I talk about it here on Armadoxy. Because Vartanants is the only battle in history. The only battle in history that is dependent on you and me to finish. Now we have tied 451 with 2011, right? And this is really interesting. I think this is the power of Vartanants that I think most of the time people miss, because they talk about history or they talk about today having some moral victory. What moral victory do we have? What moral victory do we have today? Are our churches, is the Armenian church the birthplace of my soul, just like bursting over and energized and speaking against evil? Is it really standing out there as this moral beacon compass for the world to follow? Is it this beacon of light and hope to the people? Or is it just turned into some ritualistic little place where people go and they have their baptisms and weddings and funerals? Okay, so now think about this for a moment. What is the moral victory? Let's leave that rhetoric to one side. Instead, approach Vartanants in this way, that it is the only battle that you and I will decide who is the winner, who is the outcome. Because 451 is history, 2011 is today. And there is a Vartanants that's happening right now. It's called materialism. It is the king that is trying to get our attention. It is called indifference. It is that country, the new Persia, that is saying that, hey, it's okay if you kick back and not worry about anybody else. It is all of the effects that we saw at Vartanants that tried to steer the Armenians away from the true Christ, that are trying to steer us away from the true Christian message that is out there. And that is the message of love and hope. Did you hear what happened, came down here in America? And some of you out there listening outside of America, I do invite you to check this out, because this was remarkable. Just a couple days ago, the United States Supreme Court took an 8-1 decision in the important free speech case of Snyder versus Phelps. Now, what this was about was the issue of free speech. Apparently, there is a Christian church out there. I can't even say that word. Apparently, there's a group of people out there who call themselves Christian. Let's say it that way, okay? The Westboro Baptist Church, who go to funerals of dead servicemen. People who have laid down their lives for a principle, right? Who've been killed. They show up at funerals with signs that say, God hates the United States. Thank God for 9/11. Thank God for dead soldiers. God hates fags. Whoa! What are we talking about here? A Christian church who has now become the spokesperson for something that they believe in a delusional manner, and making this incredible judgment, speaking on behalf of, yes, you got it, behalf of God. Wow! And the United States Supreme Court upheld their right to do so. I wish they wouldn't, but they did, and I understand. I understand the law. I mean, you gotta figure out that in a country that has free speech, yes, everybody's going to have that right. But it does hurt, doesn't it? It does hurt. Now, why I'm bringing it up over here is because now all of a sudden you've got these people, Westboro Baptist Church, who are now labeled as Christian. And that puts such a negative cloud, dark cloud, over the entire Christian community. And as Christians, we've got to stand up and say that that doesn't represent us. In fact, any place that there is hatred, any place that there is not love, the absence of love means what? The absence of God. Do the math, folks. If God is love, and love is not there, then God is not there. A equals B, B equals C, therefore A equals C. A does not equal B, B does not equal C, therefore A does not equal C. I mean, figure it out, folks. It's so easy. If there isn't love, if there is hatred, God's not there. That's how easy it is. And so, how does this affect us as Christians? In the grand scheme of Vartanans, this is what I meant. Today we are being hit from all sides. We are in a battle right now. And people are trying to take away our faith. You can't let them do that. You can't let them do that. And the greatest power that you have right now is to be ambassadors of Christ. And the only way you can be an ambassador of Christ, this is the only way. He tells you. By this they will know you are my disciples, by loving one another. That's it. Not by hating one another, not by holding up signs, not by going out and protesting the poor innocent. I hate war more than anybody else does. But I realize that those kids that are out there fighting, they're fighting because of many, many factors. One of which is the conviction that many of them have, that this is the way you solve problems. Personally, I feel that we are called as human beings to solve our problems without that violence. Now that's my opinion. That's based on my faith. That's on the faith that Christ has given me. But I can't go out there and humiliate somebody who laid down that ultimate price, gave that ultimate gift of God's love and God's life for a purpose that they felt was just. God blesses these people. And the reason he does is because God blesses love. Okay? The intention is important. People do it because of love. Love of country. Love of principles. You may agree, disagree. I did personally. I told you where I come from. But still, you've got to respect a person who is laying down his life. Greater love has no man, says Jesus, than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. And he gives us the command to love. And we've got to start understanding ourselves as ambassadors of love. As Christians, you are called to love. Even people that don't love you. To be able to forgive. To be able to look at them and say, I love you, despite who you are. Despite you thinking something different than me. Where there is hatred, God cannot exist. Personally, I believe that is the hell that is waiting for all of us. An absence of God. When we live with an absence of God in our lives. You need to make love the first and foremost commandment in your life. I began this discussion by saying that the Armenian Church, the birthplace of my soul, needs to change. And right now is a time where you can't look back. You can't look at a time when, you know, things didn't exist. Today we're living in a different world. We're living in a world where things are being dictated by the media and the surroundings around us. Look what happened just a month ago in Egypt. The entire government fell apart from the ground up. Media, news wasn't coming to us from the sources. It was coming to us from Facebook, from Twitter. People were connecting. They were getting the message out. And so too, the message needs to get out. The world has changed. Look what's going on right in your backyard. With all of that happening in the Middle East, what are we focusing on? Charlie Sheen? The world is changing. You're looking at these stories of 16 and pregnant. Are you asking what's happening to those children? The product of those pregnancies? What happens to those little kids? The world is changing. It's not your father's Oldsmobile. It's not yesterday's church. It's not yesterday's world that you can sit there and say, it is the birthplace of my soul, and so I'm very content with what it is. No, the church is today. It is the living body of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, if Jesus Christ was here right now today, he would not be sitting back and kicking back with his feet up in the air and saying, pour me a little bit more incense on that charcoal and let me just enjoy the lights and the domes. He would be out there. He would be out there where there are people hurting. He'd be out there where people are spitting out hate. And he'd be preaching the same message he spoke 2,000 years ago. Because 2,000 years ago, he came to a world that was filled with hate, that was filled with all kinds of objections and war, and he preached a message of love and peace. Nothing's changed. The birthplace of my soul. Nothing's changed. I need to change. I need to be that agent to be saying that Vartanants happened 451. And I don't know how that battle ended. All I know is physically we died. I know today we can say, we can claim we're Christian. But you know who's going to end that battle and win the war? It's you and me. When we decide that our Christianity is real, that our Christianity is, well, we are worthy of being called Christians. You and I will decide who wins the battle in Vartanants 2011. With that, I need a break, and I'm so glad that Ani's moving in. Here comes the big harpist is here, and here's Ani with today's bubbles.
Carl's Garden, today's spiritual bubble. Carl was a quiet man. He didn't talk much. He'd always greet you with a big smile and a firm handshake. Even after living in our neighborhood for over 50 years, no one could really ever say they knew him very well. Before his retirement, he took the bus to work each morning. The lone sight of him walking down the street often worried us. He had a slight limp from a bullet wound received in World War II. Watching him, we worried that although he survived the war, he may not make it through our changing uptown neighborhood with its ever-increasing random violence, gangs, and drug activity. When he saw the flyer at our local church asking for volunteers caring for the gardens behind the minister's residence, he responded in his characteristically unassuming manner. Without fanfare, he just signed up. He was well into his 87th year when the very thing we always feared finally happened. He was just finishing his watering for the day when three gang members approached him. Ignoring their attempt to intimidate him, he simply asked, "Would you like a drink from the hose?" The tallest and toughest looking of the three said, "Yeah, sure," with a malevolent smile. As Carl offered the hose to him, the other two grabbed Carl's arm, throwing him down. As the hose snaked crazily over the ground, dousing everything in its way, Carl's assailants stole his retirement watch and his wallet, and then they fled. Carl tried to get himself up, but he'd been thrown down on his bad leg. He lay there, trying to gather himself as the minister came running to help him. Although the minister had witnessed the attack from his window, he couldn't get there fast enough to stop it. "Carl, are you okay? Are you hurt?" the minister kept asking as he helped Carl to his feet. Carl just passed a hand over his brow and sighed, shaking his head. "Just some punk kids. I hope they'll wise up someday." His wet clothes clung to his slight frame as he bent to pick up the hose. He adjusted the nozzle again and started to water. Confused and a little concerned, the minister asked, "Carl, what are you doing?" I've got to finish my watering. It's been very dry lately, came the calm reply. Satisfying himself that Carl was really all right, the minister could only marvel. Carl was a man from a different time and a different place. A few weeks later, the three returned, just as before. Their threat was unchallenged. Carl again offered them a drink from the hose. This time, they didn't rob him. They wrenched the hose from his hand and drenched him head to foot in icy water. When they had finished their humiliation of him, they sauntered off down the street, throwing catcalls and curses, falling over one another, laughing at the hilarity of what they had just done. Carl just watched them. Then he turned toward the warmth-giving sun, picked up his hose, and went on with watering. The summer was quickly fading into fall. Carl was doing some tiling when he was startled by the sudden approach of someone behind him. He stumbled and fell into some evergreen branches. As he struggled to regain his footing, he turned to see a tall leader of the summer tormentors reaching down for him. He braced himself for the expected attack. "Don't worry, old man. I'm not going to hurt you this time." The young man spoke softly, still offering the tattooed and scarred hand to Carl. As he helped Carl get up, the man pulled a crumpled bag from his pocket and handed it to Carl. "What's this?" Carl asked. "It's your stuff," the man explained. "It's your stuff back, even the money in your wallet." "I don't understand," Carl said. "Why would you help me now?" The man shifted his feet, seeming embarrassed and ill at ease. "I learned something from you," he said. "I ran with that gang and hurt people like you. We picked you because you were old and we knew we could do it. But every time we came and did something to you, instead of yelling and fighting back, you tried to give us a drink. You didn't hate us for hating you. You kept showing love against our hate." He stopped for a moment. "I couldn't sleep after we stole your stuff. So here it is back." He paused for another awkward moment, not knowing what more there was to say. "That bag's my way of saying thanks for straightening me out." And with that, he walked down the street. Carl looked down at the sack in his hands and gingerly opened it. He took out his retirement watch and put it back on his wrist. Opening his wallet, he checked for his wedding photo. He gazed for a moment at the young bride that still smiled back at him all those years ago. He died one cold day after Christmas that winter. Many people attended his funeral in spite of the weather. In particular, the minister noticed a tall young man he didn't know sitting quietly in a distant corner of the church. The minister spoke of Carl's garden as a lesson in life. In a voice made thick with unshed tears, he said, "Do your best and make your garden as beautiful as you can. We will never forget Carl and his garden." The following spring, another flyer went up. It read, "Person needed to care for Carl's garden." The flyer went unnoticed by the busy parishioners until one day when a knock was heard at the minister's office door. Opening the door, the minister saw a pair of scarred and tattooed hands holding the flyer. "I believe this is my job, if you'll have me," the young man said. The minister recognized him as the same young man who had returned the stolen watch and wallet to Carl. He knew that Carl's kindness had turned a man's life around. As the minister handed him the keys to the garden, he said, "Yes, go take care of Carl's garden and honor him." The man went to work, and over the next several years, he tended the flowers and vegetables just as Carl had done. During that time, he went to college, got married, and became a prominent member of the community. But he never forgot the promise to Carl's memory and kept the garden as beautiful as he thought Carl would have kept it. One day, he approached the new minister and told him that he couldn't care for the garden any longer. He explained with a shy and happy smile, "My wife just had a baby boy last night, and she's bringing him home on Saturday." "Well, congratulations," said the minister, as he handed the garden shed keys. "That's wonderful. What's the baby's name?" "Carl," the the young man replied. His name is Carl. This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
Thank you, Ani. Wow, how do you do that? I don't know how you come up with always the right one. I mean, like, how appropriate. Were you just like, I think you were just like hanging out on the other side of the door, listening to that, what I was talking about, huh? Yeah, probably. no, beautiful. I mean, like, doesn't that just like fit in? Like, who takes over the garden? Who takes over the garden? I mean, who takes over Vartanants? Who continues the battle? I mean, that just hit me like perfect. Connecting the dots. And you always do it so beautifully. That, of course, is Ani's bubbles. It takes us, like those soap bubbles, takes us up to a different place. Lets our mind wander for a little bit. And our mind's going to be wandering for quite a bit this coming season as we get ready for the Lenten season. I'm going to be talking about that just after we do some of the usual stuff. Some of the things that we need to take care of. Because, you know, these things, well, it's another battle, and here's Susie to tell you about that.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the third year of production and growing daily with new listeners around the globe. This new message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. Epostle.net is the voice of Armadoxy, committed to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we need to avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at the inhisshoes.org website. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, for that reminder, and just want to remind everybody, you know, we've been doing so many different projects lately, and of course, the big one's coming up this weekend, and I hope that you're going to be able to join us. It is just a great way to be together, and also at the same time to support this ministry. We're going to be over at Griffith Park, where we're going to do an awareness for Darfur, and Griffith Park happens to be the largest public park, I think, in the entire United States, definitely. If it's not after Central Park, it's probably the second one. But incredible, big, big place, and we're taking it over. Yes, we are going to be stomping in his shoes and saying that we need to walk in the shoes of others. We need to take a look at what's going on in Darfur. Hey, been there, done that. We've been through genocide. Okay, enough commemoration. Now it's time to help stop one. And there is one taking place in Darfur. You know, last Sunday we had a great, great kickoff for our fast. I was really happy that we were with our good friends from Stop Genocide Now, Gabriel and KDJ Starring. They were with us, and we got a chance to hear a lot of what's going on in the refugee camps in Chad, and we're going to have a chance to actually have a Darfur refugee tent at the event this Sunday. So I want to invite you, if you happen to be in the Southern California area, please do stop by. I know there's some people flying in and they're going to join us from different areas. It's still not too late. I mean, you know, you could always call up a local airline and find out, hey, do you have any cancellations? And I will take that flight to Los Angeles. If you're going to fly in, do check out Burbank Airport. It's very close to the venue, Griffith Park, one of the largest parks around. You won't want to miss this. We're going to have great entertainment. We've got Gor Mkhitaryan. I know you love that interview. Thank you for all the email. Yes, it was just as much enjoyable doing that interview as it was to listen to it and just enjoy the tunes. Yes, and I was having a good time here. I was dancing. I was smiling. Yes, you read it right. We're going to have Gor Mkhitaryan. We've got Ara Dabanjan from the Element Band joining us. And of course, we've got Melina Kurdian. You are not going to want to miss this. It's an afternoon awareness for Darfur, and it also happens to be Pare Genton, the beginning of the Lenten season. So we're going to kick it off with some burgers and dogs. Yes, all kinds of food, action, you won't want to miss it. And that's part of the Inner Shoes mission. So we invite you to join us either at the park or get on our website, innerhisshoes.org, where you can read about what's going on, read the blogs, read what's happening in the world, and really make your voice, make that Armenian Christian voice a real one in your life. That's inhisshoes.org. And of course, the voice of inhisshoes, which is apostle.net, where you'll find today's podcast as well as every other podcast since the beginning of time. And here it is. Are you ready for this? We've got a 40 by 40. Yep, you're going to see it. Starting this Sunday, we're going to have 40 recipes for Lent. You could just download a recipe. That's done by Varujan. That was up a couple years ago. It has resurrected. It is going to be up there on the website. And we've got 40 messages for Lent. So every morning you just get up, you hit the message machine, and you've got a message suited exactly for that day of Lent. Oh, is that wonderful? Now, all this comes about because of your good wishes and your good donations. So do be generous in your giving. And like so many of you, we invite you to be a regular contributor to the Inner Shoes mission by pressing on that button on either of the sites. Donate and donate regularly. Set up a credit card account where you can make sure that there's a regular donation from you to the ministry, and become a partner in this living church.
Hine tzava b'yitz nore ora im neora yev hui se nora yes I'd come napsosush haskatza. Ու երբ արմատներիս վերադարձա, ինձ գտա Շեմին հիմ գանձարանի, դռան վրա պատրաստ կախված էր բանալին.
Well, this Sunday happens to be Pare Genton. Now, Pare Genton, remember I promised you we would learn a word a week. And last week, some of you caught it. I didn't teach you a word. Okay, so we're learning two of them today. Pare Genton. That happens to be made up of two words. Pare means good. And Gentani, which you sometimes hear referred to as to animals, means living. Gentani comes from the word life, gyank. Pare Genton, good living. There's your two words. So now we've caught up, okay? And this coming Sunday happens to be the day of good living, Pare Genton. Every feast in the Armenian Orthodox Church is preceded by a period of fasting. And just before that period of fasting is a day of good living, Pare Genton. There are Pare Gentons for every feast. Now, the feast of Easter happened to be the biggest feast of all, the celebration of all celebrations. The Lenten period, or the preparation period, is a 40-day period called Lent, and of course Holy Week on top of it too. So this Pare Genton is called Pun Pare Genton. Of course, depending on which side of Mount Ararat you were born, it's either Pun or Bun. But it all means the same thing. It means the primary, the official, the big one. Pun Pare Genton. Or as we say on in the western side, Pun Pare Genton. Now, think about that. Pun means the main one, okay? So now this Sunday happens to be the main Pare Genton, Day of Good Living, where everything goes. You can do everything you want. Because the following day begins the period of Lent. Now the period of Lent is an important one because it prepares us for Easter. I'm going to give you a real quick synopsis of it, and I'm going to invite you to go to our website. We've got a primer over there. You can download it. It gives you all of the details. But it's a lot of times confused with a period of time where you abstain from eating certain things, okay? And the official program of the church is officially you abstain from eating anything that comes from animals. That means not only do you not eat meat, but also you abstain from poultry. Yes, poultry is meat too, but you also abstain from fish. Yes, that's meat too. You also abstain from milk, cheese, dairy products, eggs, anything that comes from an animal. Now, last night at Bible study, somebody said, is this a good time to, like, give up smoking? Yeah, well, yeah, it is. And then, the argument is, well, smoking doesn't come from meat. Yeah, but it's not a question of meat, not meat. It's a question of bringing life down to the bare essentials. What is necessary to survive? What do I need? When Jesus had fasted for 40 days, he was tempted. And what was the first temptation? Turn these rocks into stone, into bread. And Jesus says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So the period of 40 days of Lent is not a question about giving up certain things, but really finding out for yourself, turning inward, finding out what is necessary to survive, what is necessary to live. So bringing down life to the bare essentials, you also have an opportunity to do things. Make acts of charity, acts of giving, a focus, a primary focus. This coming Sunday, in all of the Armenian churches that you enter, you will hear the message from the Holy Scriptures. It comes to us from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 6. In it, Jesus gives us three specific instructions for the Lenten period. And I share those with you briefly today. I invite you to read them in depth. The first one is in your almsgiving. Don't let your right hand know what your left one is doing. In other words, give, but give silently. Give because it is right. Help, love. Go and hug somebody that needs a hug. Go out there and love somebody who is in need of that love. Go out there and help somebody who doesn't have all the things that you do by giving out. But don't let anybody know about it. Don't make a big noise about it. Don't wait for a special messenger to bring you special greetings from the hierarchy, from the bishops or the Catholicos. Instead, do it because it's right, Jesus tells us. Secondly, he tells us, pray. And when you pray, don't use extra words because God already knows what's in your heart. So think about this for a moment. If God knows what's in our heart, then why pray? Because you're not talking only with God, you're talking with yourself. God knows what you need, but do you know it? So this is a time of meditation, of turning inward, finding out what are your needs? What are the things that make you tick? What are the things that you really crave and need to live the kind of life God wants you to live? And so in that prayer, Jesus says, pray very simply. Our Father, which is in heaven, may your name be holy. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, how is it going to be done on earth? Well, because I'm the hands. I'm the feet. I'm the mouth of God. So in other words, it's going to be through our means. Be responsible enough to take that assignment to heart. You become the agent of God in this world by spreading his love. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us whatever we have done wrong, just the same way we forgive other people. If I can't forgive you, I can't expect God to forgive me. So I need to forgive. I need to let go of the past. I need to let go of all the baggage that's holding me down. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, because yours is the power and the kingdom and the glory forever and ever. What a simple prayer. Jesus tells us, give without people knowing, give privately, and pray privately this prayer. Finally, Jesus tells us, fast. And in your fasting, don't go tell people that you're fasting. This is really important, just before Lent. He says, when you fast, clean up your face, wash it, okay? Use some of that good eau de cologne you have, you know? Use that perfume or that aftershave, put it on, make yourself really good. Don't look dismal. You don't want to. A lot of people go through Lent, and you'll probably run into a lot of people who do this kind of stuff. Oh, I'm giving up meat. Oh, what am I? I can't wait to put my teeth into a big steak. And they get all worked up about it. It's not that they're worked up about it or they're craving the steak. They just want you to know that they are keeping Lent. No, you don't need to let anybody know. It's a private situation between you and God. Don't worry about everybody else. So Jesus says this as the third instruction. When you fast, wash your face, anoint your head with oil, and have a beautiful day. Know that people are looking at you and seeing the reflection of God, not because you're fasting, but because you are an agent doing that love, doing that will of God here in this world. That's the purpose of Lent, so that at the end of 40 days, you can continue in your life to be that agent of God. I want to invite you today to join us on the internet. I want you to join us at epostle.net. Beginning this Sunday, we're going to have 40 messages. You got to check it out, okay? Every day there will be a message during the Lenten season. You could just download it, listen to it. It's 5 to 7 minutes long. You get a message, a Bible reading, and then there are recipes. Do follow these recipes. You'll find that your cholesterol go down, your blood pressure goes down, you feel great, you just feel energized, and at the end of 40 days, you become a new person. Because guess what? At the end of 40 days, what does the Armenian Church celebrate? Okay, I'll tell you. It's the resurrection of Lazarus. That's right. Not Jesus' resurrection. At the end, it is resurrection of Lazarus Saturday. That's the Saturday before Palm Sunday. Think about it for a moment, right? As the Lenten 40 days finish, we celebrate the resurrection of a new man in each of us, our ability as human beings to resurrect from the filth and the disgust of much of our lives. Here's a great opportunity. I'm hitting the clock right now, and I know we've got to end this up. I could talk to you about this for a while, but I want to invite you to join us on the website where we can continue this discussion and all of the wonderful things that are taking place at epostle.net as well as in his shoes. I want to take this opportunity once again just to invite you this Sunday. Join us at Griffith Park for our Awareness for Darfur campaign, and we will celebrate the Day of Good Living. And remind you, join us at inhisshoes.org as well as epostle.net. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope it was as enjoyable to listen as it was enjoyable to put this together. For the wonderful team that we have today assembled here, for Susie, our producer, for Ken up in the booth, for Ani with her bubbles, this is Father Boskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience, not valid with any other offer.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.